Paul Meacham Jr.
How strong is faith? Jesus speaks of a miraculous faith that would make it possible even to move mountains. But how strong is your faith? That's much more critical for us today. And no matter what the answer is, I know this. I know that unbelief can be just as strong. Today's lesson is a warning against falling into the trap of unbelief. And we invite you to stay tuned as we explore God's truth for the world. We turn our attention to God's Word. It's always our pleasure to study God's Word together with you, and we've noticed, first of all, from John chapter 12 and verse 37, that although Jesus had done so many signs before them, they did not believe Him. Now, many today look to miracles as a proof of something that we should believe in, but these people, even seeing the miracles of Jesus, did not believe in Him. We noticed an example, probably the greatest example ever of unbelief. It was used by the writer of the book of Hebrews as an example of unbelief. The children of Israel, as they approached the Jordan River and had the opportunity to travel into the land of Canaan, but were held back, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. And it was the next generation that God finally did escort into the land of Canaan and give them that inheritance promised to their father Abraham. We also looked at lessons that we need to learn from their example of disobedient faith or unbelief, because we need to learn from their mistakes rather than committing those same mistakes ourselves. We also noticed some of the causes of unbelief. Many people have placed the cause of unbelief on our Lord, and such is certainly not the case. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus explains that He was not able to heal or to take unto Him the inhabitants of Jerusalem because they were not willing. We're also told in Matthew 22 verses 2 and 3 that the reason that He didn't save them is they were not willing to come to Him. We need to keep in mind then that it is us who causes unbelief, and certainly not our Lord. Now, some choose not to believe just because they will not accept truth. It doesn't come to them as something that they must grasp onto, so they refuse to accept it. Others refuse to believe because of fear, either fear of losing their families or losing their jobs or possibly even fear of society around them. But some refuse to believe because of fear. Others refuse because they do not see with spiritual eyes. And by that I mean this. They always look at things in a physical, material sense, in a temporary sense, rather than considering the long-term, everlasting effects of our decisions and our life here. They don't understand or don't accept that the Bible is from God. They reject it, believing it to be the product of man. Paul compliments the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 by saying, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." He told the Thessalonians they were to be complimented because they took God's word as though it is in fact the Word of God, and not the message that comes from a man. Now today I'd like for us to wrap up our study by looking at the power of unbelief. Unbelief is so strong and so powerful that it can make the entire Bible empty. Here's what I mean by that. The Word of God is, in truth, powerful. Notice Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is powerful, and it is capable of turning man to God. But unbelief is also powerful. Notice the warning of the Hebrews writer, Hebrews 4 and verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The word of God is powerful, but only when mixed with faith on the part of the hearer. We are warned that unbelief is so powerful that it can stop a person from becoming a Christian. Notice a few verses down there in Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. God has given his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus built and bought the church with his sacrifice, and it remains for us to enter into that, but we cannot do so without faith. Faith itself is not enough, but faith is necessary in order for us to enter that body of our Lord, the church. Look at an earthly example that was given to us. The sower went forth to sow, Luke chapter 8. And we read in verse 11 that the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones that hear. Then the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. The word of God produces faith in man, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And we sometimes forget that when we hear the truth, the devil becomes very interested in us at that very moment. The devil is interested in us because he knows that if the word remains in our heart, it will create faith and we will grow in that faith and we will become obedient possibly. The devil then is shown here as a bird who would snatch away the seed that was lying on the hard ground. We must not forget that the devil is certainly our enemy. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to understand that the devil wants to snatch the word away from us when we hear the truth, so that it does not produce faith in our hearts. It's for this reason that John describes Satan as the great deceiver in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. We need to understand then that we should hang on to that word, the word of truth taught to us. Now, a word of warning to the wise comes to us from Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. It's possible to hear the truth and possibly even believe it for a time, but fall short of that promised rest in heaven. Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10 says, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. The warning is of heaven lost. Unbelief can bring us disobedience. Disobedience so that we understand that unbelief stops one from obeying and doing what God wants him to do. And without obedience, we simply cannot please God and go to heaven. Notice Hebrews 3, verses 17 through 19. Now to whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now notice what is said here. Again, this is a reference back to that great example of unbelief. The children of Israel, as they were perched on the Jordan River, ready to enter into that promised land. We are told that they did not enter because they did not obey. And then we're told, see that they could not enter because of unbelief. It was their unbelief which caused their disobedience. It is what caused them to not trust God and do what he had said. The warning to us is that unbelief is so strong that it can cause us to not become a Christian. But greater than that, the warning is to those who are already Christians that by unbelief they can lose their reward. Notice all of these words that we've read here in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4 were written to Christians, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 addresses them. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. These warnings that we've been reading were given to Christians, and he's warning them not to fall short of that promised rest and not to fall short by unbelief. The Apostle Paul understood that he could still lose his reward. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others also, I myself should become disqualified. These were Hebrews that were leaving the new covenant and were trying to return to the old law of Moses. And they were being warned that by not trusting in Christ, not placing their faith in Jesus and obeying his word, they would in fact either not become Christians, or those who had already become Christians could lose their reward. But let me close this study on the power of unbelief by reminding us of a couple of things. God's word will create faith within us. If we take God's word as though it is in fact his revelation to man, if we truly believe that it is his will for us, and he has revealed that through his word, it will create faith within us. But even then, we must commit ourselves to what we truly believe to be the truth. It's possible for one to reject the Bible as God's word and thereby be lost. But it's also possible to accept it as God's word, but not have the commitment to do it and still be lost. If we're going to be pleasing to God, we must have the kind of faith that saves, the kind of faith that moves us to obedience, initially to baptism into Christ. I hope that a study of God's word will produce that kind of faith in each of us. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's word is the truth for the world.